Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lions from the jump, pouring it on. 50 Burger put up 52 points, matched the season high from a year ago. Best part? Looked like last year's offense. Mm-hmm. Explosive, balanced, ready to pile it on. And they did it against Ben Johnson.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, it was supposed to be one of those things where, you know, hey, Ben knows all the strengths and weaknesses of this offense. How are you going to stop it? He's going to be in there with Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen should know what Dan Campbell's going to be running, and it didn't matter.
No, and look, they started out with play action, and then they worked backwards. They got the ground game going, ran for almost 200 yards, 6 yards a carry, and it was Montgomery in the end zone. It's Gibbs in the end zone. Jared Goff throws 5 touchdowns, sacked 0 times. I mean, it's everything we needed, right? After a week one loss where everything felt like it went wrong, this was a week where everything went right. And we've asked you guys to pick out, not the worst, that was a week ago, pick out the best.
Yep.
Let's get to Mike in Washington. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Happy Victory Monday, of course.
Happy Victory Monday.
I was at the game. I'm a season ticket holder. The best part, I mean, yeah, I'd say a couple of my 2 points here is I think the best part is we looked like our old self. Yes, we did what we were supposed to do. Next week is obviously a lot different team, a lot different players. I think the best part was early in the morning when we were tailgating. We had 6 TV buses roll down Lafayette and Randolph with the good old RIP Charlie Kirk on their sign. And I think that was very respectful for the city of Detroit. And along with all the Bears fans around me, they were all joining in on the F. Ben Johnson chant. I thought that was pretty cool.
The Bears fans were joining in?
Yep. I had a bunch of Bears fans around me. And they were, from the beginning of the game, they had no confidence. They were saying, oh, we pretty much came here knowing that we were going to lose, yada, yada, yada.
They were right.
And at the end of the game, I had about 6 Bear fans cheering with me. F. Ben Johnson on that Woodward Sports.
I mean, what I would tell you is you get these chants that carried out into the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Lions fans were fired up to see not only their team win, but it was a little bit of the energy from that first playoff win where it was like, hey, we don't need Matthew Stafford.
Right.
There was a lot of this, we don't need Ben Johnson. And they didn't. Like, John, I thought that crystallized the point that really you have led, which is this is Dan Campbell's offense. When Ben Johnson left, clearly you don't want to lose continuity. And I think he's a sharp guy, but this was Dan Campbell's offense. He took the principles from Sean Payton. He implemented them here. At one point, called the plays. But the identity of this football team and the identity of the offense was crafted by Dan Campbell. And in week one, they didn't get any explosive plays. They didn't win up front. But this was the reassurance that it's still Dan Campbell's offense.
I think it's also the reassurance that we've watched Dan Campbell learn how to be a head coach. Where he hires Anthony Lynn. Things aren't going well, so he takes over the play calling. And then the following year, he hands it off to Ben Johnson, but it's with the guidance of, this is what I expect. This is how I expect you to call the game. And it's not, you have to call this play at this play, this down a distance, on this spot of the field, on this hash. It's just making sure that the rhythm of the offense is to his philosophy.
Yes.
And I think instead of waiting throughout an entire season to make a change. He didn't want to make a change, but I think he probably inserted himself into some of those game plan meetings that he's always been a part of, but maybe he just said, okay, here's what didn't go well. Here's how I see it. Here's what I would like to see against Chicago and moving forward.
What did you think of the F. Ben Johnson chants? They bother you? You think that was classless? You have no issue with it? You think it's part of sports?
It's part of sports. I wouldn't join in. It's not part of what I think it's. I'm not going to get all over those that were doing it.
I think it's fun. I think at the end
I'm
of the
sure
day,
you do.
I have children.
You boo kids. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course you think it's fun.
I
figured I would see at the front of that section, you standing there with the sign You know, one, two, three.
But I don't think it's like that serious. Like, it's all through the lens of sports. No, I don't wish like personal harm to Ben Johnson, but through the lens of we're competing with you. F that guy. We want to blow him out. We want to humiliate him, and we want to have our best day at his expense. That's sports.
Yeah. I just, it rubs me wrong.
I know.
And so it's,
that's, you're a classier individual than I am. I mean, that's, well, I'm not at all surprised at our difference at this, on this. Marcus in East Point, best part of that game.
Oh man, it was so many. I think my favorite parts were the energy from the team as a whole, which looked completely different than last week. I mean, just from the very beginning, I know being at home makes a big difference. The looks on Ben Johnson's face every time Caleb Williams did something un-quarterback-like for his guys. And he almost looked like he was ready to give up already. I mean, it's surprising. And the other thing, I don't know if you guys know about this, but the ticket prices were through the roof until the Bears lost bad last week, and they just fell off. I was surprised at that. I couldn't even sell my tickets yesterday. I ended up giving them to my niece. It was a surprise, but I'm gonna. You guys made us go through how many games we think we win. I'm gonna go up to 13 now. I only see us losing to Ravens, Philly, the Green Bay game, and one other random game. I think we're gonna handle Kansas City and Washington
with Cincinnati. Yeah, like it's amazing.
Cincinnati is cooked already.
Yeah, well, Burrow's probably not playing in that game if you read the reports. Toe injury could be months.
He might be out till Christmas.
Yeah. Now, Marcus, you're right. I mean, it's amazing what a win will do. It'll put the wind in your sail.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know that they're winning all of these games and winning 13 games. This was one I thought they'd win, and they did win. But how they won, I think, was the significance.
Right, and it all goes to the futile task that it is of go, you know, when the schedule comes out and we go win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Like, we have no idea what injuries or what teams are going to look like, because Cincinnati, even last week against the Cleveland Browns, 17-16 win. Like, they didn't look good offensively.
Even with Burrow.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden Joe Burrow's out. And I know the game on Monday night looks as tough as it did originally, but the trip to Kansas City, like, there's just a lot of things that you learn as the season begins. And what we learned last week with the Detroit Lions, we didn't like. But now, after two games, you don't write off a season after one game. You don't write off players or coaches. You get a chance to go back out there and see. And this is one thing that we have, and I think there's a lot of people that forgot. We tried to mention it last week. Dan Campbell does not lose games back-to-back.
Well, that's one of the ticket texts we got. Lions keep their streak of not losing two in a row. This team is the real definition of grit, signed Q. Other highlights from the game. How about Tyleek Big Paw Williams? Not with one, but two swats. Good to see a rookie getting in and making an impact. Speaking of guys making an impact, the Tesla catch.
Yeah.
That was people's best part of that Lions game. Another ticket text says, wait, Davenport got hurt? That's a shocker.
It's breaking news sounder.
It's good we won't need anybody opposite of Hutch, signed Steve. Manuel and Howell, best of the Lions game.
It was great. I loved it. It put a great game, but my best part was when Golf tried to do the Lambeau leap.
Yeah.
They had to shove him into the crowd.
Oh, I know. The fans were trying to pull
that
him up, and other players were trying to push him up as well. My favorite part of that, and I don't know, were you at the game?
No, I was not. I was watching it on TV.
Okay.
I got to rewind it and keep on laughing at it.
The kids that were in that section, I showed Heather this picture this morning. There was kind of one, like, as he was trying to get up there, and another one. The boy, the son of the family that was there, his face, his laughter was unbelievable. The daughter, you could see severe concern on her face as to whether or not Jared Goff was going to land in her lap, if he was going to make it up. It just was, that picture right there was why you take kids to football games.
It was hilarious. Yes, I got to agree with you 100%. It was funny.
He turned into like an 85-year-old man once he got into the stands, just like limp.
Yeah.
I mean, they're if Amon-Ra St. Brown, J-Mo, anybody else has a good sense of humor, at some point for the next home game, they're going to put a step stool over there.
That's funny.
But just a little tip, like put a step stool over there, something where he could, maybe a little ladder, we call it the golf ladder.
Let him climb into the stands. A couple more ticket texts. I mentioned this one. The best part was the one-handed catch by Tesla and seeing Ben Johnson fired up and upset as they had to come back out as they tried to go in for the half. The tides turned. Lions came out in the second half on a tear to win the game. That signed Tater. We do have a ticket texter who is upset at the Ben Johnson chance. Says how the Lions fans treated Ben Johnson was horrible and it was embarrassing. I'll unpack that as the show moves along. It's 97.1.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It sure looks like that new Ben Johnson smell has worn off in Chicago quickly.
Oh, there's a smell.
Yeah. There's a lot of Ben Johnson hostility. Look, it's not going to happen overnight. And I made the comment last week when he said it's early, but mine was the Bears are still the Bears. Bears, God, they grab headlines in the offseason. And you know, I get it. They made some big moves each of the last 2 years. And still seem to be the same old Bears and the Lions. Well, apparently they don't suck.
Oh, no?
No, apparently they don't suck.
People just need to R-E-L-A-X?
It's a hell of a performance yesterday, wasn't it?
That it was, Doug.
Yep.
Being at Ford Field for all of it was pretty great. It was and the great thing, this is what I always say, which is great about the game, when the Lions play really well, is that they didn't play the perfect game. There's plenty to work on, and I'm sure that the guys really, like, this is what keeps them humble. Yeah, they scored 52 on Ben Johnson in that defense.
Are you saying it should have been more?
I mean, they missed a field goal. It was a 55-yarder, but they did miss a field goal. They had other drives that stalled out. They just didn't get it done. They shot themselves in the foot with a very questionable quarterback, roughing the quarterback call against Brian Branch. It was an interception. It would have been another possession.
Well, don't you know that when you're in midair, you're supposed to change the way you are flying through the air?
I thought it was so unfair, and that's exactly why, because he literally had jumped up
in the
air. He'd
already jumped up to block the pass.
And then when he comes down, he doesn't hammer him.
No,
he literally was like trying to avoid him. And Brian Branch afterwards is like, I was waiting to hear what his explanation was, because I'm like, that would have been my explanation. And he's like, well, I was in midair. So what am I supposed, because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I tried not to come down.
It's clear. And we're being, you know, but you're not supposed to land.
Right. Come on, Superman. Keep flying.
Don't land.
I was just, that was unfortunate. But there are areas they have to, and certainly on defense, they've got a ways to go. I mean, they gave up it was really strange from the Bears. Like, they ran the ball reasonably effective. I'm not sure why they didn't keep that going to keep the Lions offense off the field. Mm-hmm. And the Bears with Caleb Williams, he really didn't take off and run. Lions kept them in the pocket. And if you had told me Roma Dunze caught 15 passes, I would have believed you. I couldn't believe it was only 7. It just felt like that guy was the one that was catching everything. But he didn't take off and run. And I think he targeted his tight ends a total of 3 times. I didn't understand it. I don't know if Ben Johnson just got in his own head, was trying to, you know, outsmart everybody or whatever, but you didn't go to what your strengths were, and good. And the Lions defense made plays. You know, they got him to turn the ball over 3 times in the game. They had a fourth down stop.
Fourth down stops.
It was massive. And they got to the quarterback and eventually sacked him 4 times. It wasn't just Hutch who finally got his first sack. Finally, it's game 2.
I know, right?
I didn't mean to say it like that, but he got his first sack and he celebrated and he was very appreciative. But Davenport had a sack and Al-Kadeen Muhammad had a sack and Brian Branch had that sack. I mean, there was a lot to like on both sides of the ball, and yet still more stuff that you can work on both sides of the ball. The running game, I'd like to criticize, but they ran for 177 yards. hard to criticize the running game.
What is there to criticize? Why do you want to criticize?
It's like they were kind of slogging along. Here's 2 yards. Here's 3 yards. But then they burst. There's 15. Boom. There's 40. It was a really, really impressive effort from the Lions at home. And I think offensively, there is one giant and maybe obvious reason. We didn't bring up last week of why things were going to be better, but I think I have the one giant obvious reason why things are better offensively.
Which is?
Dan Campbell said communication, communication, communication.
Yeah.
Jared Goff says we got to communicate better. I got to take more leadership through that line of scrimmage. The big difference is this game was played at home. And when it's played at home, you know what the crowd doesn't do? Make noise while they're on offense. No, honestly. I mean, I know it's simple, but honestly, this is the biggest difference. And I don't know why we didn't bring this up. It was quiet as a church while this is going on. And you could almost hear them calling out the plays. That's the difference. Is that they played in a hostile environment the first game of the year. It's loud. Guys are nervous. They're not sure what's going on. Second game, all right, let's button things down. Let's get a better, better set plans for going into this play. But better yet, it's going to be quiet so we can hear everything we need to do. You're going to take this guy. You're going to take that guy. I think it was that simple.
Yeah. And I mean, we did actually talk about it, but...
I don't think we mentioned that.
I did, but it's okay. The fact is, you're not going to be a finished product in week one when you're breaking in new component parts. Like the idea that they struggled in the first week with new coordinators, they struggled with some young players in the interior of the offensive line. It's not a stunner that they weren't a complete product and finished in week one, and it's okay. I guess what I really look at right now is, do you still think the Lions win this division? I mean, we're two games in. Green Bay looks phenomenal, but the Lions, we have a large sample size of the Lions being more like they were yesterday than in week one, right? Yesterday is how they looked last year, and quite frankly, the year before. For most of their performance and most of it. So if you built a case in the offseason and fully believed that the Lions were indeed the best team in the NFC North, two games in, is that shaken? Do you still believe that? Because Green Bay looks so good. But we got a lot of track record and a lot of examples and evidence that the Lions were indeed as good as they looked yesterday. And I'm fascinated by it. I think this division has the makings of being a fist fight right to the end between Detroit and Green Bay. And you know, Minnesota maybe got a bit of a dose of reality yesterday. And look, Chicago's got work to do. So, you know, this could be just one of those potentially one of these great races right to the end.
Yeah, I still think that Minnesota and Chicago are going to be very difficult at the end of the season because they're going to go through the growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, new quarterback on one side, new offensive coordinator, head coach on the other side. I think that they're going to be better. Minnesota was mung yesterday. That was brutal. And the Bears got punched in the mouth. I think the play that happened at the end of the first half is like the key play of the game. Tesla makes that catch with 16 seconds to go, goes out of bounds. They line up and then the clock is still running. I'm like, wait a minute, he went out of bounds. And then they reviewed it. They determined that He was tackled inbounds, which I'm still not sure how they would rule that, but they did. And they do the 10-second runoff. They have to literally bring the Bears back out onto the field, which was amazing to see that live. Like the Bears, like, what? What just happened? Oh, yeah. No, the Lions have another play. Not only it's not like 1 second left, it's 6 seconds left. They could run two plays here from the 3-yard line if they were so inclined. And all it took was the one. And they get the touchdown. So instead of going into it with a clock running out and being up 21-14 at halftime, they get the touchdown and it's 28-14. And then they get 3 and out to start the second half. I mean, that was it. It was great.
You know, since we're pointing out the obvious this morning, the first segment, like, you know, it's a lot quieter at home, easier to communicate. Only half their games are on the, at home, though. And so Monday night at Baltimore is on the road Monday night. And that, could we go back to what happened in Green Bay? Hopefully not, of course. But in fact, less than half their games are at home because they only have 8 home games this year. I think 9 are on the road.
Yeah. Well, and look, the fact is, there's got to be growth. You have to get better or it is going to be a long season. And so I love these tests. I love that you can see the difference between week one at Green Bay and week three at Baltimore. Lions 6.5, 6 point underdog already for a game a week from today. It's an early season, huge AFC, NFC showdown.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in on a Monday. God, I hope people are in a better mood. All right, let's do this as we start the week.
How can they not be in a better mood?
Well, I like the better mood. I don't like some of the crackheadedness I've heard on this station today, but we're going to get into it.
That's what happens when you drop a 50 burger. Yeah.
On a kid in a wheelchair. But that's fine. listen, we can get it. I want to get into all of it. We've got so much to do with the NFL, and we have a little bit of college. I mean, I know normally we separate our worlds. There's just not a whole lot to say. Like, I think everyone to a man thought they'd beat the Bears. We talked about it Friday. If they had a chance to rub Ben Johnson's face in it, they would. It went a little far for me, but I don't care. If people had a good time, and hopefully you hit your prop bets. But, I mean, you have starters in a game up 52-21. I'm going, what are we doing here? The F. Ben Johnson chants are hilarious to me. It's like, dude, he took a job. He didn't F your mother. It ain't that real. He took a job.
Right.
So, look, it's cool. It's what you do to bad teams, but I will give you a warning label on it. Enjoy it. It's an ice cream sandwich. It's tasty for the moment. It ain't going to do nothing for you long term. It felt like that game was very bizarrely personal to them. And that they needed a confidence boost. That felt like Dan Campbell was injecting confidence into his team that maybe they were shaken after Green Bay. Maybe that's why they took the route of the aggrieved in the media. Okay, you know, Stella got her groove back. All right, now let's take it to Baltimore where we can actually have an acid test. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah.
Because the Bears are, Rico, I mean this. The Bears are one of the three worst teams in football. Especially after watching Minnesota last night. Hello. Even Kenny's nodding. Kenny, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. I'm just
working my way back to 100%. Everything's all good.
Listen, you beat Tennessee. Again, you should be amped.
I was psyched after that game. Okay. Don't get me started.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're with us.
Oh, I'm active.
Then the Lions give you a 50 burger. And I know they were standing over the kid in the wheelchair saying, get up, get up. And the kid's like, I can't.
But that's what you're supposed to do. To me, that's not impressive. I'm not, you know, like excited about this win. It doesn't feel like we've accomplished anything.
I think the win is fun. Sure, but the difference, like I was listening to callers calling on the morning show and it's like, we're 16 wins.
I'm
like,
getting the double digit disco from Costa, by the way. That's going to be coming for the Baltimore game, right?
No, can't be.
That's what we said about the Bills. That was the double-digit disco game.
I just view it Super Bowl standard. That's what you do to bad teams. The Lions have already established this is who they are, by the way. If they can rub your faces in it, they will, which is fine. It's fun, but I don't take a lot from it. Like, let me give you an example, and this is where I could make my day easier, but I don't want to take these. I want to speak to you honestly. So when I'm watching all these games, and I'm taking notes for the football show on Sunday nights, like the first half, I view it so different than probably the average fan, which is I didn't really like the way the Lions played in the first half. First of all, the refs handed you 7 because they don't know the damn rules. Second of all, you squandered 2 turnovers by the Bears by going 3 and out, not doing anything with it. Mm-hmm. And you had no pass rush when the game was in.
or at consequence. The pass rush really came when it was a zillion to 20.
When they quit. They rolled over and said, here's our belly, you can rub it.
Well, and it's also when you know they're throwing. So, like, those are, that's unnatural to me. So, like, I didn't love this first half, and maybe a lot of fans did, because I'm looking at it through the lens of how do we have to play to win a Super Bowl? Now, the Bears are going to be one of the three worst teams you play. It's just clear. The Giants and the Browns will be the other two. Is that fair?
The Browns, yes. Okay. Don't you do that to your G, man.
It's okay.
Big G would not be happy.
The point I'm making is there's still a lot to clean up. And then, look, did you rub their faces in it and have a good time and get your players hype, get the fans hype? Of course you did. But I don't take a lot out of it. The same way I don't take a lot out of emptying your grocery bag against Central Michigan. I just, for me, the acid test comes this week. You at Baltimore, or in the case of Michigan, at Nebraska. Right. That doesn't mean I'm not happy. Of course I'm happy. But it's interesting that people want to draw like some form of, okay, we're back to what? I'm with Kenny.
It was very
this
personal.
This is what you do. You were a touchdown favorite at home. This is what you do.
I mean, the talk in the locker room, Birchfield, he put something out on social media, Jared Goff walking through the locker room saying, sky's not falling, huh? Like,
yeah, see, their aggrieved routine is old to me. It's like, look, you got punched in the face against Green Bay.
And we all saw it.
90% of people didn't have the sky falling. It was simple. Green Bay might be better than you. You're still an 11-win team. Let's move it forward. It's just weird stuff. So I leave that alone. I'm with you, though. Aiden did that last week, too. It was very odd.
Well, the Brian Branch, you know, it was personal and, you know, dude, he took a job. Like, so later down the line, if you end up going as a free agent, are you betraying the team? No, it's a business decision. But hey, you know what? You got the win. You celebrated. You showed your ass.
Make it personal every week if that's how you're going to play.
I mean, even the fourth on the goal line, like, just kick the field. No, you're going to score.
I didn't have a problem with that because ultimately, I think Ben Johnson answered the question perfectly. That's not what they do.
I understand, but it's just like at some point you got to – that used to be your friend.
Well, I would have pulled the starters. I wouldn't have Amon-Ra in a fourth quarter game scoring more touchdowns. Like, would you really – I was shocked. And Davenport was in there even after coming out of the game dinged up. Hutch was in there. I was like, are we going to pull these guys? Nope. And I heard TJ talk about it. He even was like, guys, the body's cold. There's nothing left here.
Yes, everybody wanted a piece of the pinata.
Well, they got it.
They did.
And I'm glad they feel great because they're going to need it Monday against the Ravens. Now, the Ravens game is where if you win, we're going to take something out of it. Mm-hmm. But I am a little surprised because the fans here have been shown what it takes to win. They know. And they know what real is. Like, we're still doing this euphoria stuff that they drilled the Bears?
Yeah. And no, because I think it was therapeutic. I think because of what happened with the Green Bay game and how fans felt for an entire week, and it was a lot of questioning of how good is this team? Can this team get off the mat? You know, was Ben Johnson all the offense? And the fact that they went out there and scored over 50 points showed, okay, they can score. But I think a lot of questions were not necessarily asked, but fans had doubts that they needed to see this. And I think the team needed to see this.
So you know what I think it is? I think it's deeper than that. And maybe people disagree, agree. I'd love to know your biggest takeaway from the game. You guys watch games completely different than I do. I understand that. Not right or wrong. It's just different. What was your biggest takeaway? Because I honestly think it was chicken soup for the soul. I think you needed it. And by the way, the players were strutting around. Oh, sky's not falling. It's like, you know what? That kind of feels a little insecure. That kind of feels like you needed it. Maybe you were questioning some things in the quiet time. See, that's my whole thing is you don't get to say, I tune out all the outside noise and then cite the noise after you beat up a kid in a wheelchair. That just feels odd to me.
And then steal the wheels.
Jared Goff said, it comes from outside the building. Don't care. Well, then why are you talking about outside the building stuff after you beat up a homeless man? You can't be both ways.
Yeah.
That to me is where this team's got to get to is just stop acting like no one believes in you or you're aggrieved. Everyone kisses your ass. Mm-hmm. Go play the games. And by the way, week-to-week league, we always talk about this. This is why the schedule game, I never freak out about it. Bengals game. Does that look different now?
Does.
Joe Burrow's done for the year.
It does.
For all intents and purposes, Burrow's done for the year. Unless the Bengals do something insane and they're, you know, 3-9 and they bring this guy back for the last couple of games. He's done. He needs surgery. It took the O-line less than 2 weeks to get him killed. Toe injury, gone. Dead.
Yeah.
So, look. And by the way, maybe that'll heat up our pursuit of Trey Hendrickson. Mm-hmm. I'm kidding. I just can't let that go. Kenny, come on. I did that for you.
You don't need anybody.
Jeez, man. That's tough.
You don't need anybody.
248-539-9797.
Darius had a nice game. I don't know if you saw that or
not. Okay.
You said we're good.
Yes.
Yeah.
David, any thoughts?
Yeah. When's the parade?
No, stop.
I'm sorry.
David, you have to find a middle ground, especially as a pastor. Let people be happy.
You can be happy. Celebrate, be happy.
It's just a little wild.
And it's week two. I'm sorry, you're not going to the Super Bowl yet. That's all. You did what you were supposed to do against the Bears. Now let's see it next week against the Ravens.
Like I thought they were an 11-win team going into the game. I think they're 11 going out. That's it.
You shouldn't change your ideas after each week. You shouldn't go from 10 to 13.
Well, no. I had them around 10, but I feel better because of the Bengals game because Burrow's not going to be there.
Move to 11.
So come on, move to 11. That's a team that you should beat.
Move to 11.
But, you know.
Get to 11 with me.
Man, the Cowboys kicking 70-yard field goals, man. I'm just saying.
Do you know the text my dad sent me?
I don't.
He goes, son, I love you, but I have to take a walk to clear my head. My dad didn't want to take a walk. He took his walk in the morning. He had an impromptu, emotional clear-out walk after the Giants game yesterday.
Please tell me he returned.
Buddy.
That's rough.
I only know he's still with us because he texted me, all right? Because that was a lot for him to handle. The Giants lost a game with 15 seconds left, up 3, and the opponents got the ball in their own 25. That's a hard trick to turn.
After neighbors hits the night-night pose.
Yeah. Okay.
I fell for him.
I feel for my dad. I'm numb to it. All right. To the people, 248-539-9797. Happy you guys are happy, but I'm not altering what I think about the team, and I'll see you in Baltimore. I don't know what else to say. It's the same thing. I thought Michigan was an 8 or 9 win team. Why would I change it after... They beat CMU like CMU cheated them.
Like they stole something.
They were breaking out trick plays. That's what they did to the Windsor Surgeons Club back in 1886. We're just here to teach you how to play. All right, run power trip 36.
Well, they won the Show Cause Bowl.
Bro. It's almost a tradition now.
That's not a flag, David.
It kind of is. David.
That's not a flag. Both teams have show cause.
David, it's the third year in a row you're going to have 25% of your season coached by somebody else. It's kind of a tradition. They should sell this. Like, just tell Sharon, you only got to coach 9 games a year. We're going to sell the right to coach to rich donors for 3 games.
There you go.
Like the name of the coach, you sell the right.
The Ira B. Wasserman family coach. And you're like, $5 million, you get the headset, you get to do it. And then you can call your quarterback Batman. That $15 million will pay for the roster.
You're right.
Hey, honestly, State could sell all 12. It wouldn't make a difference.
So Tennessee sells, you get access to the press conference. Michigan sells, you get the coach.
You coach.
You can coach against one of these bad teams. We're just going to beat the brakes off.
And we'll let you call 6 trick plays.
Right.
Whatever you like. Rico, take him to church. We'll get to the people next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.